Thank you, Ms. White and Sheila. That was beautiful. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. He's a doctor in the hospital room. He's everything we need when we need. And the scripture, the message is going to be coming from Romans chapter 12, a living sacrifice, because God do not desire any dead sacrifices anymore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before your throne this morning, O Lord God, we come to seek, O Lord God, a word from you. We come to just listen, Lord, to what you are saying to us through your word, Lord, that you have spoken. Lord, and I just ask that you will remove me, O Lord God. I am your vessel, Lord, a willing vessel, Lord. Speak through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that someone here today, Lord, might be encouraged. Someone, Lord, might get something, Lord, that you want them to have today before they leave this place. In Jesus' mighty name I ask, amen. Now, the scriptures in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. In these verses, Paul is beseeching his hearers to present their bodies as a living sacrifice. And he said, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In light of all the riches believers enjoy, and you know about some of those riches, because I do, it is only reasonable through God's mercies that we give him our highest form of praise, a living sacrifice. You see, the Lord don't require any more dead sacrifices. In the Old Testament, when we sinned and you believed in the one true God, you would offer animals, because it took the blood of animals who were perfect. Like Matt explained, they had to be without any blemish, nothing wrong with it. And they had to offer that blood for the atonement for our sins. But that was just a foreshadow of what was to come. Because God sent his only, his best for us, so that he will be the final blood sacrifice. So God is not today desiring anyone to offer him any more dead sacrifices. He wants living sacrifices. John the Baptist said in John 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but there is one coming after me, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Think about that. John was just, he told him, I'm going to just baptize you with water unto repentance for sin. But the one who is coming after me, wow, he is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Because you see, you cannot become a living sacrifice unless you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's an impossible task, to come to the Lord as a living sacrifice. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, that is not possible. Because you are not living for the Lord. You are living for yourself. So you could never be a living sacrifice. You're just offering him your leftovers. Dead things in life. Now, in Leviticus 22. It describes what type of sacrifice is pleasing to God. If you didn't know, it explains it in graphic details. Because you see, the Lord required those sacrifices to be perfect without blemish. The best, top of the line in quality. Just like you and me. Because you know why? We were made in the image of God. And God have no blemishes. And if we were made in the image of God, we have no blemish. But because sin entered the world, we became blemished by sin. So, the only way we can be without blemish today in this fallen, sinful world is when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's the only way we appear before him without blemish, because when he looks at us, he sees his son. He sees his son. And if you have not been baptized, now, please don't go around telling anybody, hey, you got blemishes. Because, you know, this flesh got some blemishes. Oh, you don't got the... Please don't do that and get me in trouble. I'm not talking about the outer shell we are, okay? Because I got blemishes right here. But I am talking about the spiritual body. No blemish. Perfect. A living sacrifice before God. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. It says, do you not know that your body is the temple of God, the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? And you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. Do you know? That's what he's asking. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? And you know what? The temple is where people gather to worship in various ways. When I was growing up in a Hindu village, in fact, we call this a church, but in the Hindu religion, ours are temples. Ornate temples with all types of gods lining the walls. And that's where people gathered to worship. That was the temple. But Paul is telling us here, what Paul is saying is that if people gathered in temples to worship God, and we are the temple of God, guess what? We are right where worship happens. We are worship itself to God. God don't need this building. It is a place that he has blessed us with so we can gather together. That's what houses of worship are. But it starts with the temple of God. Right here. We are a house of worship. And we worship wherever we are, whenever we want. In Hebrews 13:15, it says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks in his name.
And you know, those couple of those words stood out to me. Sacrifice of praise. Do you know sometimes it is a sacrifice to give God some praise? You know, when you are walking through some dark times, when you are going through some tragedies, when what you've been praying for turned the other way around, it is a difficult thing to give God some praise. So to give God, it says in Hebrews, a sacrifice of praise, because that sometimes we got to give that sacrifice in the midst of the trials. I had to do that when my son passed. After I got through everything, I had to give him praise. I had to give him that sacrifice of fruit off my lips. Lord, just a few years before, you saved me and you took two other lives, but you kept me here for my son. When I got down on my knees, in the midst of my sorrow, it was a sacrifice of praise that I give him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I'm here, because he could have taken me 4 years before my son. So you see, a sacrifice of praise is not an easy thing. Paul knew that. Paul found himself in prison many a times for preaching the word of God. But when Paul and Silas decided in prison, hey, you know what? They got us in all these shackles and everything here. Let us start giving God some praise. And they both started to sing in that prison. And you know what happened if you know the story? All the doors, the earthquake happened just at the prison. And all the doors got open. Sacrifice of praise. That's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice. In verse 2, in Romans, Paul said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know what God's will is for you today? Do you know what God's will is for you? So let me tell you what he said, not me. I can't tell you what God's perfect will is. I can tell you what he said his will is for you. In chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Those are the plans God have for you. Those are his words. He declared it. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope when everything looks hopeless, and a future when you think there's no future. But you know what? Don't you ever forget, we have an enemy. We have an enemy, and he's going to do everything, everything, so you don't know the plans that God has for you. He's going to try to tell you, no, that's not the plans. Just like he deceived Eve, he is going to deceive you. Is that what God said? Look at what is happening. How is that prosper? Look at what your son is doing. Look at what your daughter is doing. What do you think? Is that God prospering you? Or he's going to whisper now. He's going to whisper. Just like he whispered to Eve. But if you don't know your word, guess what? You are going to fall as a victim to his lies. You got to know your word so you can tell him back, hey. Wait up here a minute. God said his plans is for me to prosper. So you better take cover, because I'm going to prosper. You got to know your word. The word conformed refers to assuming an outward expression that does not reflect what is really inside of us, a masquerade or an act.
The word forms here in this passage implies that Paul readers were already allowing this to happen. And Paul wanted them to stop it, because they were starting to take on the moral values of the world around them, which was dominated by Satan. In Ephesians 4, 17 and 18, it tells us, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you shall no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk," those who didn't accept Jesus Christ, "in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance." So, if you don't know God's word, it's your own ignorance. Don't blame nobody. Don't blame your pastor. Don't blame your Sunday school teacher. If you don't know your word, it says your mind is darkened. You are alienated from God because of your own ignorance. So I know that no one in here wants to be called ignorant, right? Because I know I don't want to be called ignorant. I get really mad when my husband say that. Because sometimes he get mad at me and he tells me that. But that might be ignorant in the world, you know? But when it comes to the word, when it comes to the word, oh no, I don't want anybody tells me I'm ignorant of the word. Because I study my word. I study it. So, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone, it ain't no special people, I am no more special than you. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new." When we come to the Lord, we are transformed from that old self. Because see, we give up all that baggage we were carrying along. All that sin baggage. We give it up. We are redeemed. We are baptized by the fire and the Holy Spirit. So now, we are transformed to become a living sacrifice. And another, the English word for transformed, and I like this one, is metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. And one example, and I love this story, one example of metamorphosis is the caterpillar. The caterpillar is a worm or larva. So the caterpillar, whenever it is born, it eats up all the leaves and everything right where it's at. And then when the time comes, it forms a cocoon. And when it goes into that cocoon, that is when metamorphosis, transformation is starting to happen. And it goes through that process for a time. And then the butterfly, the worm that got transformed into a butterfly, is ready to break loose. But you see, before it could break loose, it has to struggle. It struggles to get out from that cocoon before it can come out. Because you know why it has to struggle? And I loved reading up on that. It had to struggle because in that struggle, the body pushes the fluid into the wings so the wings can get more powerful. So when it breaks loose, it can fly. And see, we are like that caterpillar. See, we are encased
in a shell that is filled with stuff that we are carrying. But when you become a living sacrifice, a metamorphosis starts to happen in that shell. And then when you finally give him it all as your reasonable sacrifice, it's time to break loose. It's time to break loose from that shell. You are ready.
You have struggled in that shell with the issues that you had. You have given it up to the Lord now. That spiritual struggle that happens in that cocoon. So when you emerge from that shell, guess what? Man, you got some powerful wings to fly.
You are no longer crawling on that ground like that caterpillar.
You're ready to fly. But without the struggle, the caterpillar is never going to make it.
So one, the story is told that this one woman was in her garden, and she saw this cocoon, and she could make out the struggle going on in there with the butterfly. So she said, from the kindness of her heart, I'm going to try to help that caterpillar or that butterfly. So she went and she cut it. She cut the cocoon so the butterfly can come out. And when she did that, the butterfly came out, flapped the wings, and fell over and died. Because it never got the opportunity to go through the struggles that would have strengthened its wings. And when you think you are helping your family, your friends in their struggle, oh no, you are not doing them any favors. Because it's in that struggle that you are going to learn how to fly. You must go through the struggle to learn how to fly.
Let them go through that struggle so they can learn for themselves, because your wings cannot help them. Your spiritual angel wing is for you only. So that's the greatest gift you can give your children and your family, is to let them go through the struggles so they can strengthen their own spiritual wings. Transformation from within. That is what it's all about. In Psalms 119:11, it says, your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. See, you have to hide God's word in your heart. If you don't hide that word in your heart, the possibility is you will sin against him without even knowing it. Not that you want to, you meant to, without even knowing it. You must hide God's word in your heart so you will not sin against him. The renewed mind is one that is saturated and controlled by the word of God. Jesus said in John 7:37-38, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. See, you will never be able to become a living sacrifice
if you don't answer that call. He said, are you thirsty? Come to me. Come to me and drink from living waters, not dead waters. Here we go again, living. He said, come, drink from the living waters, and it will flow from you. I tell people sometimes, come stand next to me, you might get an overflow of what I got. Because that's what he said. He said, it will flow. It
will flow from you. Because you know, living things is alive. It's alive. That water is living. It's moving. It's acting. And in John 4, 13 and 14, it says, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Listen to that. Whoever drinks of this water, he was talking about the Samaritan woman by the well. She was by the well to draw water. And he said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. You see, if you don't know Jesus Christ and you haven't went to him to drink from him, you will always be thirsty. That's what the word said. You will thirst again. He said, but here we go. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. Isn't that what it's about? Everlasting life. We are put on this earth to prepare. That's what God did. He made us, and he's a God with such humor. He said, I'm going to make them all colors, all sizes, all shapes, and I'm going to put them down there and see what happens. Because see, he put us here for a purpose, to strengthen us, to get us ready for everlasting life. How you think some of us are doing on that part? I don't think the world is doing too good on that part. You know, being prepared. See, the disciples knew this when they drank from the living waters of Jesus. They went on to become living sacrifices. Paul knew this because when he drank, he used to be a persecutor and a murderer of the Christian, putting them in prison to death. But when he drank from that living waters, he went on to become a living sacrifice. The scriptures is full of living sacrifices because they all were thirsty and they drank from the fountain of living waters and went on to become living sacrifices. Now I know some of you may be asking yourself, why is she talking about all this living sacrifices, living waters? Because again, God doesn't require, desire, or want anything that is dead. He don't want your dead praise. He don't want your dead leftovers. He don't want your dead faith. He's a God who has given us a living Holy Spirit and fire. And we should be out there with that passion and that love, letting it flow over, like he said, from within our belly. Oh, yes. In some commentaries, the example of a living sacrifice is someone who offered themselves completely to the Lord, under God's control, yielded to him as an instrument of righteousness. The first song they sang today did that for me. That's what a living sacrifice is. That first song, you give him everything because we belong to him. We would not be here today had it not been for by his mercies that we are here today. So we are living. It's only our reasonable service, Paul said, after God has done all that for you. That's the only reasonable thing you could do. So that should not be a problem. In Hebrews chapter 10, it talks about us. If you ever want to read that whole chapter, it talks about us entering the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil of his flesh.
That chapter talks about the new way, the living way, that we come now into the holiest place. You see, back then, the Holy of Holies had a huge curtain, and only the priest could go back there once a year. And boy, he better be clean and righteous, because he ain't coming out. They had to drag him out, because they go in with a string on their foot. That's what it is, because that was the holiest of holies. But this chapter is telling us that Jesus Christ has entered the holiest place by the sacrifice of his flesh. So why? So we now can enter that without worrying about them tying a string to our foot and whether they're going to drag us out or whether we're going to walk out. So Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, did it through his flesh. He paid that price so we could be able to enter into that holiest place. In verses 3 through 5, Paul reminds us that God has given us all a measure of faith. And as the body of Christ uses this faith, we build up the body, for we being many, all of us here, many are one body in Christ. One body. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Now, thanks be to the Lord, who always, remember that word, always leads us in triumph. All victory, some scriptures say. Always leads us in triumph. And through us, you, me, he diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge everywhere, for we are unto God the fragrance of Christ Jesus among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. I want you to think about that. You are the one that Christ is using. Don't worry about what you know and what you don't know. If you have read the word and put it in there, don't worry about it. He said it is he who diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge everywhere, because you don't know what your fragrance is doing for someone who is saved and need to be encouraged, or for the one who is dying and need to be saved. We are those vessels. We are the fragrance of Christ Jesus. You see, God will use people to walk through rather than performing these miracles he did in the Old Testament. Our growth spiritually is a continuous work in progress, because we have this treasure of the Holy Spirit in our earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Holy Spirit power. The greatest and most powerful type of power in this world. No other power can surpass the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? You got it. You got it. And you didn't have to pay no price to get that power. There is countries in this world paying billions to get military power, that when the power of the Holy Spirit is ready, that will be like nothing. And you got that power in you. You see, when we start the process of becoming transformed, we will stumble and fall sometimes. I'm not saying we won't. But we serve a God who will never leave us,
never ever leave us. He will always be there to pick us up, dust us off. He's always praying for us because he knows the plans he has for us. Luke 10:19 tells us, and that is one of my favorite scriptures, Luke 10:19. Jesus said, "Behold, I give you authority to trample upon the serpents and the scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you." So guess what? President Trump has some power right now. For now, he has some power to do some things he shouldn't be doing. But he got the power, he got the authority to sign all those papers. Luke 10:19 tells you, you got authority from the highest of high to trample upon your enemies, to destroy the plan of Satan, and none of it can harm you. So what are you doing with your authority? Are you signing your papers? Are you saying you got authority? You got spiritual authority. But a lot of us, woe be me. Look at what is happening. I don't know what I'm going to do. You better start knowing what you're going to do. Because that enemy, boy, he like a shark. When he smells blood, he comes in for a kill. So you better know that. That's why you got to stay prayed up and in the Word. I tell you, the reason why so many people are being led astray, again, ignorant of what they have, who they are, and what they can do in Christ Jesus. And once you know those three things, oh boy, he gotta go. In 2 Corinthians 4:7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the power may be of God and not of us." You see, it's not us. That's what that scripture Paul is saying. It's not us. The power is from God. We are just an earthen vessel carrying the most powerful power in the world. That's what we are. And Paul was telling his readers that because they were starting to go the way of the world to pick up all those worldly habits. And he was reminding them what they have in Christ Jesus as one body. And remember that also, one body. We are not supposed to hurt any part of our body. If you truly believe that you are one body in Christ Jesus, as he said, you will never hurt another part of your body, but you will love it. You will love her. You will love him. You will encourage them. You will help them when you can. Amen. That is what the body does for each part. Because we are one body. And I don't think, unless you got some mental issues, that you're really going to hurt any part of your body. And that is the same with the body of Christ. That is the same. You see, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul, it never tells us what that thorn in his flesh is, but Paul was praying for God to take that thorn away from him. How many of us have some thorns today? God, please take this away from me. I don't want this. Help me, Lord. But you know what?
You know what the Lord told Paul? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. For in your weakness, my power is made strong. Don't deny the struggles. Paul had to keep that thorn in his flesh. The Lord never took that thorn away. And what did Paul went on to become? One of the greatest apostles that almost wrote 3/4 of that New Testament. That was the man that the Lord told him, that thorn in his flesh, he gonna keep it. He said, but my grace will be sufficient enough for you, for my strength will be made perfect in your weakness. You see, we are these clay vessels that God is going to use to make his power evident to this world. And that's what Paul went on to be. He went on to be the most powerful, greatest apostle of all time because he was a living sacrifice that allowed God power and strength to be shown through him. So don't worry how you're going to do it. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength. Oh, listen to all the my now. And that's God talking. Will be made perfect. Perfect in weakness. That's another strong word. Perfect. But that's what God is all about. He will make it perfect. Because his strength is perfect. See, God has given us this time, sisters and brothers. He has given us this time on this earth today to build our strength and our character. To be transformed into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. Spiritual growth is not automatic. You are not going to just come and accept Jesus Christ and confess and think, that's it now. That's it now. I'm a Christian. I don't have nothing to worry about no more. Oh boy, are they in trouble. Because spiritual growth is not automatic. It takes intentional commitment. Think about it. In physical growth, when the baby is born, right? If you don't feed that baby, what's going to happen? If you don't feed that baby food, it's going to die. If any one of you think you can live without eating, try it and see what happens. You ain't going to be here and see what happens. You'll be up here. So think what you're doing to your spiritual body. That's what I want you to do. Think about your spiritual body. If you are not feeding your spiritual body the word of God, your spiritual body is dying. It's dying. Christianity, as we call it, is not a religion or a philosophy, but a relationship. A personal relationship, a lifestyle that will become your living sacrifice. That is what the Word of God will do for you. The prophet Jeremiah, I love Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Jeremiah in 29 said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. You see, when you have the word of God in you, there's no way you can shut it up. You see, Jeremiah was mad at God when he said this. He didn't like some of the things that God was going to do. So he said, I'm not going to talk about him anymore.
Do you get like that sometimes? But the word said, the word was in him. Shut up. It was like a burning fire. And he could not keep it in anymore. It had to bust loose. That's what happened. He couldn't stay mad that long. So how's your word? Is it burning or is it burned out? I hope it's burning. Because if it's burned out in you, you're in trouble. But one thing you can do if it's burned out, accept his invitation. Come. Come. Drink from the living waters and rekindle your fire so that it can burn bright again. And as I come to a close, sisters and brothers, do not be deceived to conform to the standards of the world. Because Satan can disguise himself as an angel of light so he can make sin look pretty. And I think most of you know that. He can make sin look pretty. But don't conform to this world's standards. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return void to me, but it shall accomplish what I sent it out to, and it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word is never going to return to him empty. It don't matter what you decide you're going to do or you're not going to do. Because God said, and I'm going by God's word. He said, my word will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I purpose it to do. And it will prosper. Again, what was his plans for us? That we prosper. And what is he saying now about his word that goes forth? It will prosper regardless of what you do. His word will prosper. His purposes will be accomplished. You're going to either be left out or you're going to be part of it. You make that decision. See, when a storm is coming, the turkey runs to find cover somewhere. But the eagle leaves its nest and soar high up so the wind can carry him over the storm. So which of these would you want to be? Huh? Which one you want to be? Do you want to be the turkey? Because you know the turkey wings, all it do is flaps and stay right on the ground. Or do you want to be the eagle when it spreads its majestic wings and it soars? The wind takes it higher and higher. That's how God is going to give you them spiritual wings, that when tragedy comes, when sorrow comes, he will be able to give you those wings to soar over those dark clouds. But if you remain the turkey, all you're going to do is run for cover. Run for cover. I just can't imagine anyone choosing to be a turkey. I mean, think about it. Millions of people today have chosen to be like the turkey. They can't fly. They have no spiritual wings to fly. So they like the turkey. They're just flapping and their feet are still on the ground. They're moving nowhere, but they're flapping away. Millions today have chosen to be like that turkey. No spiritual wings. No spiritual power. So I leave you with this question. Are you seeking cover or altitude? Are you seeking cover or altitude? For those, Isaiah 40:31, for those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings of eagle. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Whose have you put your hope on? Where is your hope? Is your hope on God? Or is your hope in the things of the world? It will decide what you're seeking, cover or altitude. God is asking you that question today. Are you willing to be a living sacrifice? Are you willing to trust me? Are you willing to be that earthen vessel that is filled with my power? He's asking you that question today. What is your answer to him? That's between you and him. But I choose to be an eagle. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, my God. Thank you for your word. It is living, it is powerful, it is sharper than any sword. It pierces through the bones and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Lord, today, let your word cut through, Lord God. Those who are still grounded on the floor, Lord, not able to fly. Let your word, Lord, cut through. For it is a living word. I just thank you and I praise you, Lord, for using each and every one of us here today as the body of Christ to strengthen the membership of Christ Jesus, the household of Christ. We are one body, not divided. When one part suffers, all the parts suffers with it. When one part is praised, all the others share in its praise. So today we are sharing, Lord, in your praise today, in your glory today, Lord, because it's about you, Lord God. And we thank you and we praise you for your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's now our hymn of invitation. And if there's anyone here today who would like to make a public confession of faith, you would like to become a member of Lee Heights Community Church, it's just a member of a body that loves and supports each other, or if you just want prayer, let this be your time.